Well, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to think for a while this morning about this challenge that we've been set by God through his word and by the Holy Spirit about a coming day called here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the day of the Lord. Now, Bible prophecy about this coming day of the Lord has over the years attracted a fair measure of cranky people with cranky ideas, a sort of lunatic fringe who fasten on to the ideas of the Bible about prophecy and then launch out actually into their own ideas and their own opinions. There was one such expression, for example, in the 19th century by a man called William Miller. And Miller became notorious for setting dates again and again and again as to when he thought the Lord Jesus Christ would return. He announced first then that Jesus would return between March the 21st, 1842, and March the 21st, 1843. And during that year, many of the Millerites, as they were called, people who followed him, did all sorts of things to get ready for that return, including some of them selling up their homes and businesses. But the Lord Jesus Christ did not return. So Miller revised his estimate and said he'd made a slight error, but definitely Jesus would return between October 20 and October 24th, 1844. And again, Jesus did not return. And again, many of his followers had been led astray. 5 years later, Miller died. On his gravestone was put a statement which was perhaps a much better theology than the one he'd stated in his own lifetime. They put on his gravestone, "At the appointed time, the end will come." Now, that phenomenon of people trying to set dates for the return of Jesus is not just something that's happened a long time ago. In the last few years, there have been some fairly prominent leaders, but who have been very foolish and set dates about the return of Jesus. There was a man, for example, called Harold Camping, who did that a few years ago. And again, lots of people were taken up with this idea that he put forward. And again, some people got married, sold their homes, did all sorts of things. And yet, the date he set proved to be false. So I don't know what it is about the Bible and prophecy that seems to get some people to go off in a wrong direction. But the Bible's teaching, because it leads some to go off in a wrong direction, shouldn't be ignored by us, because actually there are important lessons about the return of Jesus and this day of the Lord that the Bible this morning wants you and me to hear and to respond to, and things to do, not to set dates for the return of Jesus. If Christians have learned anything, surely it is not to try and set dates, but to bear in mind that Jesus' return is certain. Jesus is coming back to this world. And that's based on God's promise, upon what God has already revealed in the resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, and in what the Bible is telling us here this morning, verse 2. "You yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." Just as that watchman in Kenya, one of the things he's watching for is that no thief will come and try and break into that compound and steal money or a computer or radio equipment. So suddenly, says the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, will return to this world. Even at a time when everyone is saying peace and safety, verse 3. Suddenly, Jesus will appear in space-time history. And so though we don't know the date when Jesus will return, we can be absolutely sure today, this week, this month, this year, or in 10 or 50 or 100 years' time. We don't know the date, but the Lord will return. And are you ready for his return? That's the challenge of this passage. And what should we be doing in the light of his return? And it's striking that the passages in the Bible which refer to the second coming of Jesus most frequently emphasize how believers should live in the light of Jesus' return. And that's what we find in the verses that Chris read to us this morning. An exhortation to holiness. The great contrast between the Christians waiting for the return of Jesus Christ and those who go astray or who take an interest in things like astrology or the New Age movement is that some people are just thinking about the return of Jesus to satisfy their curiosity and to speculate. Biblical prophecy is given to you this morning and to me to make us holy. And in the light of that, I want to emphasize certain aspects of this challenge. The day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. The first thing is that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ challenges us to watch. To watch. Verses 5 and 6. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober, be on guard, be alert, be spiritually alert. Why? No one knows that day or hour, not even the angels of heaven, far less those who speculate like William Miller. This is a day that's given to the Father, but we are to spiritually watch, be on guard. I think it's an amazing thing that for Christians it is very easy to settle into a routine of life that we don't give one fleeting thought to the fact that this may be the day when Jesus will return. We make decisions and plans. We drop schemes and ideas. But do we ever bear in mind that the Lord may come, interrupt those plans, interrupt those schemes? C.S. Lewis said that church members are so comfortable in this world that they cannot bring themselves to think about going to another world. Now that may be true of us. So the Bible speaks about the certainty of the return of Jesus, although the uncertainty of its timing, so that Christians will be spiritually watchful, spiritually on their guard, spiritually in a state of readiness. And so one of the themes is this sort of theme that the Apostle Paul speaks of here. Therefore, let us watch and be sober, praying for his appearing. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught them to pray, Lord, your kingdom come. And as we pray that prayer this morning, we are praying that the kingdom of God in the hearts of men and women this morning, where Jesus Christ rules as king, might become more and more visible and open. Because there will come a day when that kingdom in its full glory will be revealed. Praying for the Lord to return. Praying, Lord, your kingdom come. We sang a hymn which had a refrain in it. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Now the hymn writer in using those words is picking up a biblical idea. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. Or Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And there is a word in the New Testament, you may have come across it, a word that sometimes is taken straight from the original language of the Bible and is used in English today. Maranatha. O Lord Jesus, come, it's saying. In other words, are you living? Are you looking? Are you longing? Are you being watchful for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you watching for the return of your great God and Savior? And of course, the big question is, what would happen to you if the Lord were to suddenly return? Watch and be sober. As I was growing up, this seemed to me to be a much greater emphasis than is apparent in today's church. Older Christians would sometimes say to me, don't forget the Sunday evening service, because the Lord may come. Don't forget the prayer meeting, the Lord may come. Don't forget to read your Bible,